fighting for America.
The medium market personality Marconi goes to Kevin Miller, KIDOAM, Boise, Idaho.
Fighting for Idaho.
I just want to say to all of you, thank you for believing in radio and local radio. I want to thank Town Square Media. I want to thank Kevin Godwin. I want to thank all my listeners.
Fighting for you.
But in reality, this award is about all of you that believe in radio, that believe in touching people's lives. God bless you all. Thank you.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good from far, far from good. Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Our great friend Phil Hardy is with us, and Phil, it's been a while.
Good morning, Kevin. Thank you for having me back.
You know, you've run statewide campaigns, you've run congressional campaigns. What do you make of the campaign season? Do you miss not being a part of it?
Oh, absolutely not. I don't miss feeling being a part of it. The last month of a campaign, the last week of a campaign is usually very nail-biting. You don't get much sleep at all. You don't eat right. You don't treat your family correctly. It's a very stressful time. So, no, I don't miss it.
So there was a new opinion poll that has just come out, and you have a chance to share that with us here at 580KIDO. Before we get to that, though, your thoughts as you were giving me your reviews in real time last night of the gubernatorial debate.
Well, if you're in Governor Otter's camp, you have to be extremely pleased. There's no other way to say that. They did not have John Buzak on stage debating with him. I thought that this was, for people in the Treasure Valley, their opening introduction to A.J. Belukov, and it was mine as well. I've seen A.J. in public, had not heard him speak before. I was extremely shocked at how inarticulate he is, how robotic he was, and how really not in control. He did not settle down at any point during that debate. He did not improve, in my opinion. So I think that for an introduction to the voters of the Treasure Valley, it was not a very good one. So in all, it has to be a fantastic feeling for Governor Otter.
Did any candidate really hit it out of the park? I thought the governor seemed tired. I thought Mr. Pankey seemed confused. I thought John Buzak could have added something to it. It's interesting, the last time we had this debate, the governor lobbied to get all the candidates in, and it was a different entity, different requirements, but this time he didn't.
I was very surprised that John Buzak was not allowed to participate. They said it was either the number of votes. The number of votes that Mr. Pankey got was how he got in.
You're not used to the dry air in the studio.
Get
a little drink there if you want here at 580 KIDO.
I have to ground down my voice in the morning.
You know, we don't need look, the host is a big tune-out factor. We don't need the guest contributing
to
that.
Sorry, you know, it's been so long since I've been doing this, I have to get my chops back together. But no, to make my point, Mr. Pankey was invited in because he had achieved a certain number of votes in the past. Well, you know, John Buzak had got many times more votes than that when he was the prosecutor in Canyon County. He is someone that is known to the people of the Treasure Valley. So I thought it was an unusual decision to disallow him from participating. And it came very late.
Timing was off.
Very much last second. So I'm not even sure the governor was aware that John Buzak wasn't going to be there until a few hours before the debate. And in fact, I saw that Mr. Buzak had tweeted out that he thought he was in the very end going to be allowed to participate. So I think the governor was probably prepared for him to be there, and it just turned out he wasn't. In fact, when I turned on the television, I thought he was going to be there.
I think it hurt the debate that he wasn't there.
It may have. I think the governor came out on fire. He was very much amped up and ready to roll. And I think he actually had to dial it back a bit as the debate went on because his opponents were not as well prepared or just simply not as articulate as he is. So he had to just sort of relax a bit and coast his way out of it. But I agree with you. John Buzak would have added a tremendous value to that debate.
I think he would have added some competency. 580KIDO, your thoughts on the debate last night, either online at 580kido.com or your reaction to Phil Hardy, 580-5436, 580kido. I go back to Mr. Pankey. I mean, I learned that Idaho and Israel, and if we have a connection with Israel and Idaho, God will bless us. And he really believes this. God bless him. And then that China is a problem, and that to build a good education system here, we need to look at the Empire State Building. And I'm trying to think of any of the other. Oh, and he condemned Governor Otter a few times. I really thought that his purpose there, did nothing to serve the debate.
I completely agree with you. I've never seen this gentleman before. I'm not aware of the constitutional candidate being on. Maybe they are. You know, the last gubernatorial debate, I remember there was...
Pro-life.
Pro-life, and there was also the independent, the lady... I can't remember her name off the top of my head. She got 8% of the vote, and she was very articulate.
It was a war on women, the lady.
I suppose. But I'm surprised he was there. I think it detracted from the debate. He honestly is a fringe candidate.
They tried to help him, and he couldn't get through the answers.
He actually also said they needed more women on the land board for some reason. That would have helped education.
Right, which was a question about education. More Democratic women.
That was exactly, not even of his own party.
You know, and at the end, the timing was a little off, so Channel 7 actually, after the closing statements, instead of having the talent close it out, they decided to continue on, and they went back and they asked both candidates questions about taxes, and then they got into it. But look, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to run debates. You've been in debates. Why not have both candidates, A.J. Baluchoff, Governor Aller, each ask one the question, the other the question?
I completely agree. I mean, the format for debates here... it doesn't really stimulate a debate. It doesn't really give for back and give and go and to, you know, get people hepped up and to really get their juices flowing. It's very staggered and broken up. And having a third party fringe candidate, you know, which is really interesting because I'm sure there'd be many people who would suggest that John Buzak was a fringe candidate. But I think that John Buzak could have got up to 8 or 10% of the vote. You know, so that's still people's idea of a fringe, but the gentleman who was on stage from the Constitution Party, I don't think he's going to get a half of a percent.
There is a lot at stake in this election. We're going to get to your calls in a minute for Phil Hardy, but I have to ask you, your former boss, Congressman Labrador, was on the stage last night. How do you think that he did?
You know, I think Raul did very well. It's difficult for him.
It's not like he's going against the first team.
And no, it's not. And, you know, and I know he has a personal affinity for Shirley Ringo. They served together in the House of Representatives here in Idaho. There's obviously no chance of Mrs. Ringo winning that election. So it was sort of, you know, something that the congressman had to be very cautious of because she's a senior citizen and you don't want to be someone who looks like who's bullying somebody.
You don't want to falsely imprison a grandmother like they do in Payette.
Exactly. So I think that it was a walk in the park. I don't think many people really watched or cared. The main show was on at 8. And unfortunately, well, again, if you're Governor Otteren on his team, you're really excited today. You know, that was a real good moment. I think overall, maybe the governor possibly, as you said, is tired, but he's campaigning hard.
And well, you'll never outwork him.
I don't think you can.
Let's go to the phones, and it's Old Home Day. Now, I don't know if Tom Munns is going to join us at Chick-fil-A. Are you going to join us Friday at Chick-fil-A, Tom Munns?
It depends if my boss will let me.
But, from 5 to 9, Tom Munns, we're going to be there. You can get there in the morning early.
Okay, I'll be there.
Thank you. If only Phil Hardy had your dedication.
Oh, I hope Phil Hardy's there. I want to see him. I want to shake his hand and say good morning, Phil Hardy.
He's got a mean goatee.
Good morning,
watch
Tom.
Out for him.
Well, where have you been? We've missed you.
Well, you know, I only come back when I'm invited.
Oh, well, that's, you know, my mom grew me up that way, too, so you can't be all that bad. Well, I had a couple comments I wanted to make, as usual. You know, I don't have a shortage of those. About this thing with Buzak and Otter and all that, I really want to urge people not to drawn away from the issues. You know, elections are a very emotional time. People get really, you know, excited or upset or whatever. We have to look at track records. We've got to look at what's happening here. We've got a governor that has actually apparently chosen to be able to have a debate with people, or chosen not to, or if he hasn't had any part of it, then why is everything always about the people being controlled to be able to believe a certain thing? We have to remember, Otter laid over for Obamacare. He laid over for Common Core. He essentially laid over for gay marriage because he knows better constitutionally. He's brilliant. I mean, the guy is a great orator. He seems like an awesome person. But I question his integrity when he sits there and throws his hands up on multiple times, allowing the federal government to be able to completely undermine the state constitution and providing that protective mechanism against the feds. And so we can't lose sight of that. You know, AJ Baluchoff, I've heard, is a great speaker. But where was Buzak? Buzak was entitled to be there. You don't get chosen.
Right, Buzak got the boot. Tom Munns, thank you for the call. And look, say what you want about the governor. The governor fought the gay marriage thing. The press keeps taunting him about it. He's going to do what he can. I mean, unless we're going to close the borders here and declare Idaho law over federal law, I don't think there's anything more that he can do.
I think that what Tom is expressing, and what I also agree with Tom on, is the ever-encroaching power of the federal government on any and all states' rights. And while Butch does his best to fight that, it's almost impossible, if not impossible, to fight the federal government on this. And it's just a pity that the federal government itself seems to think that it's okay to trample on states' rights in every way.
We go to the phones, and Tea Party Bob joins us from the Gem State Patriot for his old friend Phil Hardy.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good morning, Bob.
You know, I just want to make note of something. If you want to get rid of the federal government, stop taking their money. We've got 36% of our budget paid for by the federal government. So the governor is sitting there saying we don't want the federal government in here. He invited them in. We invited them in with Common Core. We invited them in with the health care exchange. And we invite them in with Medicaid. And that's another thing we're going to have to look at some point in time. This debate last night was a bad attempt at comedy. The one person who should have been there was John Buzak. And I'll tell you, I've lost a lot of respect for KTVB for not having him there. Now, you've been around for a long time, and you've been involved in a lot of elections, as I have in the past. But you can't tell me that that was an honest debate that actually hit on the important topics, like increasing medical care, transparency in medical costs, taxes, gas taxes, you know, how we're going to pay for all these things, better paying jobs, except for the idea of getting tax breaks. Nobody had a solution to any of the problems. It was all talk and no action.
Well, Bob,
tell me what you think about that.
I tend to agree with you that it was not the best debate. I think the format wasn't great. I think that some of the performances by, and I think you probably agree that the governor of the three gentlemen performed the best.
Well, when you have three bad guys up there, yes, the best is going to be the best of the worst.
I think that the questions didn't necessarily lead themselves to the best answers either. I think that the governor would have had a better game if he had better opponents to play against.
And that's the unfortunate part about it, is every time we have one of these debates, they had one up in Idaho Falls, they cut Buzak out of that one. He's the only one who actually is making some common sense here. And when it comes right down to it, the governor, yeah, for all of his flailing of his arms last night, he probably looked pretty decent compared to the other two guys.
Well, what about Mr. Belukov? What do you think of him?
I think he was a little shell-shocked at the debate. I don't think he was on his best behavior in terms of being very astute.
Well, I guess his staff did a lousy job of preparing him.
I think that's probably correct. I think he could have done a much better job.
I agree. He seemed nervous throughout. You know, some candidates start nervous and settle down. I don't think he ever did.
No.
Look, you'd be nervous if you were next to Pankey. All right, Tea Party Bob, thank you.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the Morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning as we continue on. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Phil Hardy is with us from Strategies 360. Phil has worked on several campaigns. Has worked in campaigning and governance in the music industry, in entertainment, in sports. That's why he's here to lend us his expertise, and we do want to take your calls. I have something for you, though, and there's a lot of people that are at play here, and I think a lot of scores are going to be settled in this election, and here's how it plays out. I see it. This is going to be an election not only judging Governor Otter, but just how powerful the education issue is. They've been on a roll since Props 1, 2, and 3 went down. Now, if they don't topple the governor, if that's not a strong enough issue to beat Butch Otter, then I think we're going to see a leveling of
that. This is the 5-Minute News Service on.
And the grassroots are on trial, if you will. For if they don't support the governor and they sit this one out and the governor wins again, if they thought they didn't have a seat at the table to begin with, well, I couldn't imagine they'd be even in the neighborhood after this. How do you agree with that assessment as far as what's at play here?
To a certain extent, I do agree with that, but I want to make an important distinction, and I said this to somebody yesterday. There is a big difference between choosing one candidate over another in the primary and then completely abandoning your party in the general election. You can have that spirited fight, but the idea that you're going to go into the voting booth, you know, or you've got your absentee ballot, and you're not going to vote for the party that you believe in, for the person that most likely reflects your values and selects someone else, or just not vote in that part I don't get. So I think there will be a certain percentage of that so-called grassroots that did not support Governor Otter, who didn't or who won't vote for him. But by and large, I think they are going to vote for him because he is the candidate and the party that they support.
You say that it's going to break that way, but you have people saying there's too much influence by lobbyists and they'd rather have Mr. Blukoff in than the governor.
I just don't think right now that Mr. Blukoff is going to win. I think that there is...
You're calling it now.
You know, look, this is how Mr. Blukoff wins. It would be the equivalent of a triple play in baseball. Yeah, we all know triple plays happen, but have you ever seen one with your own eyes? I haven't, and I love baseball. So I think that it would require Mr. Buzhak to get a very high percentage of the vote, and in addition, it would require Mr. Blukoff to get a high percentage of the vote. And for a Democrat to get 45% of the vote in any statewide race in Idaho is an extremely high bar.
Where's Russ Fulcher in all this?
Well, I think that Russ has put something on his Facebook page saying how important it was to vote for the governor, and I know that Congressman Labrador has as well.
Yes, there's a passionate endorsement posting something on Facebook.
Well, it is.
Why isn't he on the trail like your former boss, Congressman Labrador? It appears that the congressman's on the same team with the governor. And when's the last time that happened, Phil Hardy?
Well, wait, you have to understand and admit, you know, Congressman Labrador's name is on the ballot right now. So he has to be out there campaigning for himself.
I'm saying he's campaigning for the governor.
They're campaigning together. They're on the bus tour.
When's the last time that happened?
Probably 2 years ago. Well, no, 4 years ago.
Yeah, I suppose 4 years ago.
They were on the bus together 4 years ago.
Yeah. Where's Russ Fulcher?
Well, Russ is not on the ballot, you know, so...
Russ controls 41% of the primary voters.
You know, and I think that he's told his supporters where he's going to vote, and I appreciate that.
Shouldn't he be on the bus?
Well, if he was invited and didn't go, we don't know the circumstances for that.
We have another gubernatorial candidate joining us now, pro-life at 580KIDO. You were shut out. What happened to you and John Buzhak last night?
Well, we didn't... have $10,000 worth of somebody else's money. But I know, you asked who won, but I know who lost. Heavenly Father, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, they lost big time. And public education is communist education. If we had not, as a society, way, way back, adopted public education, we wouldn't today have gay marriage, we wouldn't have baby murder on demand, we wouldn't have rampant pornography, just a real sick society. And so we're going to have to go back to faith. And none of those guys on the stage yesterday were talking about that. And if we don't turn back to Heavenly Father Jesus and really repent of our sins, we're not going to go anywhere economically. And so I think that we really are in a terrible condition.
And well, I mean, we were kind of talking about the campaign here, pro-life.
Yeah, well...
I mean, save your stump speech for when we have you in.
All right, but
and
anyway.
We're going to put you on hold. We're going to get your number from Ray so we can get you on. Because, again, unlike other entities, we want to make sure that every candidate has their fair share.
I think that's very nice of you.
As opposed to other people that lock people like pro-life out. We don't do that.
Well, that's, yeah.
Any thoughts on what we're going to see in the legislative season?
You know, that's a really interesting question. I think that a lot of people used to think that we were going to see something about Medicaid expansion, and I don't think that's actually going to happen now.
Well, I guess it depends on who the governor is. You heard A.J. Blukoff saying, I'm for it. We're losing $80 to $90 million from the government in refunds. The governor said, yeah, that money can come and go. Then you had Mr. Pankey say... I can't remember what Mr. Pankey said.
Well, the thing that's going to actually occur with Medicaid expansion in the next couple of years is the number of people who are eligible for Medicaid and the amount that the state is currently paying are going to explode. So unless the state does something remarkably different than it's doing now, it may, in fact, you know, overtake the state's ability to really overtake the state's ability to pay for this. So having it reformed, privatized, changed, federalized, something has to happen with Medicaid, and avoiding the issue for another 2 years in the legislature may not be possible.
Bill Hardy with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. So you've pretty much called this race. You're citing a poll from a Democratic firm off good old Highwoods Boulevard in Raleigh, North Carolina. Anything else that we need to learn about the state? Some interesting facts.
Well, you know, there aren't many close races at all. There's always something that can happen. You mentioned the October surprise when we were speaking earlier. And the October surprise is some massive bombshell that comes out within, you know, a week or two of the election, not usually within the last few days. The press doesn't usually pick up on something like that. And you're waiting for something like that to occur that could change a race, usually at the top of the ticket, because if something like, you know, Mrs. Ibarra not voting, that's not going to hurt Butch Otter. You know, that's not going to hurt other candidates in the race. You know, the governor usually has coattails. And if his race is secure and his lead continues to grow, that usually helps pull the rest of the ticket along.
And perhaps she'll need it.
I definitely think that that's a race that the Democrats targeted to pick up, as well as the Secretary of State's race. But right now, their candidates are still behind. You know, so if they're behind now and Republicans come home, you know, there are a great many voters in this state who've never voted for a Democrat in their lives. And I'm not even making that up. That's true. So it becomes almost impossible to surmount that institutional advantage that Republicans have. That's not to say something may not blow up in Lawrence Denny's race. It may. But barring something really major, you know, and we're not talking little petty things.
Phil Hardy, Strategies 360s. We'll see you again sometime.
It's been a pleasure. I enjoy being with you, Kevin.
You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO. Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, manly men.
580 KIDO, 539. It is the award-winning Manly Man segment. Kevin Miller, Dave Burnett, ready to go. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin.
Anything exciting going on with you? I've got a couple things, but politics has dominated the Manly Man segment for a while. I wondered if you had anything.
No, go ahead. Fire away when ready.
So last night, I was working again, watching the second congressional debate.
Can I ask a question? What are you eating right now?
I wasn't eating. I was just touching my tooth.
I thought you were eating something. I was going to say, sounds good.
Never mind.
No, no. We've got the Winco Foods here. The folks here have really set us up here this morning, which is always good. You can always tell the best schools ever because they always say, hey, how about a coffee? Hey, how about some calories? Hey, how about this? As opposed to just sitting you in a room in a closet and going, okay, go.
Yep. I gotcha. Okay, anyway, watching the debates last night.
My first question to you, did you watch them?
No, I did not last night.
Well, our boy, former Congressman Stallings, we need to get him back on and win or lose, he needs to join the Kevin Miller militia. I really like that guy. He is such a bleeding heart liberal advocating. I mean, it was just, you know how some people couch things? I mean, he's ripping Mike Simpson. He's talking about the bully Boehner and the Republicans, and we need to, you know, make sure the undocumented are documented. And it was so fascinating. It was like if we had transported the entire program to Massachusetts. And Mike Simpson, it's interesting. He's a pugnacious guy. Instead of being the good king, he didn't care. He started unloading back on poor Congressman Stallings. It was something, and Dee Sartin did a great job, but I just would have liked to have seen them yell at each other for, you know, 30 minutes, which they would have if Dee hadn't jumped in a few times.
So Dee got in, got between them, put her hands between them, and said, boys, 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 straighten them up, huh?
She did to a degree, and, you know, God bless her because she was trying to focus on real issues, and I'm going, just let them scream.
So we got two old-line politicians going at each other.
Yeah, and that was the entertainment value. So then I go,
well, the state school superintendent debate has to be even better. And I'm going, I really have no life. So I started watching it, and you have Janet Jones, Sherry Barra back and forth. And I'm sure it kind of got testy towards the end. Janet Jones saying my opponent offers no specifics. Sherry Barra saying she's the chief financial officer. Janet Jones saying she isn't. Sherry Barra saying that's unfortunate, or that's insulting or demeaning. And, you know, I gave it a half an hour, and then I went back to, you know, watching some of the shows, the reality shows that I like. The modern-day Love Boat, it's called Below Deck, where, I mean, this is, again, I don't know which is more pathetic, watching the debates or admitting here at 580KIDO, I'm watching a show about people serving food on a yacht.
That it would be your secret pleasure, your hidden secret pleasure, Kevin Miller.
Well, the fight between the chief stew and the cook, and that was riveting last night to me. Hmm. I don't have enough drama in my life, I suppose.
I figured you'd be watching Survivor.
I taped it, but again, I'm not going to be one of these folks that says, well, don't spoil it. You're much more considerate to people than I am. Any surprises on Survivor last night?
No. No, just more drama.
We got rid of that racist John Rocker.
Yeah. Yeah. They talked to his girlfriend after she found out about it. And, you know, she said he's judged immediately by people no matter what because of what was said in the past about him. So she goes, you know, he's used to it. We're used to it.
Yeah. So we have that for, we have the television report here this morning at 580KIDO. Another Ebola person now transported to Atlanta that broke after the program. I guess Emory University is the best place to go if you have the Ebola.
Can I ask you a question about this?
Sure.
Who's paying for all this? Can you imagine what the hospital bill is for being treated for Ebola?
Right.
Who's paying for all that? Certainly it wouldn't be insurance, would it?
Mm.
I would think that would cap out, but, you know, you just go get your whatever, your uvula removed, and it's a fortune. I can't imagine if you're being treated for Ebola what the price tag on that is.
Well, we just have an endless supply of money.
Oh, yeah, I guess I forgot about that part. I mean, can you imagine how much a hazmat suit costs? Because I'm sure you're charged for them.
I think we should go into business of the hazmat suits, personally.
might work out pretty well right now. But, yeah, I started thinking about that drive into work this morning where they were talking about that they, you know, they got the second gal, the healthcare worker that was on the plane flight, which, by the way, now letters going out to schools across the country because there were kids on that flight with her that have now gone to school. And so letters being sent out from Cleveland to Abilene, Texas, there's letters being sent out to parents saying, yeah, one of our kids in our school was on that plane flight. So I started thinking between getting her in the hazmat suit, getting her on the private plane, which they are not cheap, to fly her to Atlanta, and then just the medical care in the hospital. I mean, what'd they say? They had 73 people treating that the one guy who passed away. The 73 people, that's not cheap.
That is not cheap. And again, the troops going to Africa, it's a lot of money.
Yeah, so I was just kind of curious, who's footing the bill for all this? Certainly not the CDC, but right. they're right. I hear somebody springing around behind you there. Certainly
that's my
not
new thing for people texting me. How do you like that?
Oh, is that your new text?
Yeah, instead of the bark or the goofy do-do-do-do, I got boing, boing.
No,
boing.
I got you. Okay. I thought maybe Jacob was back there on a pogo stick or something.
Well, you know, anything to get some hits.
I guess so. But, yeah, just the cost, and is it the insurance absorbing it? Is it the private individual? Is the hospital taking the hit on it? Is the federal government stepping in to pay for it? Somebody's paying for this somewhere.
Well, you're paying for it.
Now, in the long run, yes.
Well, and you missed it last night on the debate. Boy, they were screaming and yelling about this last night. I love Congressman Stallings. He's so, I don't know, he's just so honest. Remember when he overslept and he said, I made a mistake, and I'm mad at myself. And then he started kissing the ring, and we all like it when they kiss the ring.
Sure.
You're the greatest host ever, Kevin Miller. Oh, yes, yes.
Have you ever heard of me before?
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Hold on. Kevin Milner. Yes. Yeah. But he was
Stephen Milner, we love your show.
Oh, my gosh. When I used to go to Albertsons at 10 Mile, hey, Steve Miller. Hey, how are you?
They call you the space cowboy.
Exactly. Anyway, at 580KID, what do you make of the budget, though? Because Congressman Stallings blaming the Republicans. It was really an old-fashioned fight. And with respect to the folks, Mr. Pankey, Mr. Blukoff, I would have liked to have seen Mr. Stallings, Congressman Stallings, go after the governor that way. Now, that would have been a good toe-to-toe, if you will.
Well, you know what? Richard Stallings has been around a while. He's not a newbie at this. I mean, he has been in office and has, you know, he has been after this for years and years. So, yeah, he can hold his own. You know, whether you agree with his politics or not, he can hold his own in a fight.
I bet. And like I said, it'll be... Well, I mean, he's going to lose, right?
I would assume so. I can't imagine that he would win, but I'm sure the folks in his camp are saying, yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
I don't know that enough money has been spent. You see, and that's something else. Can I go ahead and say something else here?
You can do whatever you want, as I'm getting bombarded by Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, who has mistaken today for tomorrow or tomorrow for today.
Oh, has he? Yeah. Well, you know, it's Thursday, everybody. Kevin's at school today.
Yeah.
I guess what I find fascinating, when it comes down to advertising, how people advertise their campaign. See, if I was Richard Stallings, I would have ads on this station and any other conservative station. I'd be going after the conservatives who might be waffling on candidates. I mean, for you to go and... You know, if you're conservative and to advertise the conservatives, that makes no sense if you have, you know, no real competition. If you're liberal, to go campaign to the liberals, to me, makes no sense. It's like when Mother's Day rolls around, why would you advertise your spa package on a station designed for women? You advertise it to the men.
I would agree with you.
I've never understood that with media buyers, how they place their ads.
Well, here's the skinny. On this, and I'm sorry, let me unplug the Facebook there so we won't be bombarded by constant instant messages from Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. Let me hit you with this one. A.J. Blukoff is advertising on these radio stations. The people don't vote. And in this day of micro-targeting, you go where people vote. And I will tell you, this is the station that people are active on, that do things, that vote, that care about the process. Mr. Blukoff, with all due respect, is missing the boat by being on TV. Advertising on TV anymore doesn't work because what do you do with the commercials, Dave?
I don't watch them. I TiVo everything.
Right. You TiVo everything. You fast forward them.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you have, you know, the channel where we, you know, we have the modern day Love Boat. We have the politics channel. We have 7 politics channels, 27 sports channels. It's so fragmented. So how do you get your message out? Mr. Bujak, here's another one. He's targeting Russ Fulcher voters and Channel 7, and he had this big controversy, and we can go back and forth on that one. But Russ Fulcher ran ads on the station almost exclusively and got 41% of the vote, won Ada and Canyon County. That's a great return on investment. My mother, she was running a political campaign against Scott Brown in New Hampshire, and I said, you have to advertise on radio, especially in a primary. And unfortunately, they didn't have the money to do it. They wanted to do it, but they didn't.
And they lost.
They got 25% of the vote. It was Scott Brown 50, the other guy 25, and her candidate 25. But if you're going to be taken seriously, if you want the maximum return on investment, now it doesn't work for everything, but voting, yes.
Yeah, it's just the media buyers have never made sense to me, you know. Hey, we got a liberal candidate. Let's go advertise on the liberal radio station. Well, you're talking to your people. You got to talk to the other people.
Well, especially, well, they let their political bias get in the way, especially if you if you believe in the concept of auto fatigue, if you believe that there's 30 or 41% of the Idaho Republican primary voters that are there that are willing to be wooed.
Yeah. I go back to, you'll remember I told you the story about the lady who came for the Democrat Senate candidates to my door.
Yes.
I'll give her credit. She's out pounding the door in, you know, what basically are conservative neighborhoods. You know, so I'll give her credit. You know what? I remember her. So
right.
I'm not necessarily going to vote for the candidates, but I will give her credit. She went fishing in different waters.
Right.
So,
well, that's what you have to do to win, I suppose.
I would think so, but you know, that's just me. I just sit here in the seat and watch traffic and talk to you and listen to you.
Well, I wish I had something to say. On the other hand, you know, back to the governor's race, because that's the only thing worth talking about. I mean, the state school superintendent's race, I'm sitting there going, eh. But what do you make of it? I mean, what do you make of the governor's race? A.J. Belukoff spent a lot of money. By the way, the front page of the paper today, allegations concerning this prison scandal could involve possibly members of the governor's staff. The governor's saying he's not involved. Is this the October surprise?
Well, it's very convenient that, you know, the article comes out now. I always discount any articles or news stories that come out a week or two before the elections.
And quickly, how about this? In 15 of the last 17 elections, Sherry Ibarra hasn't voted?
Hmm. That's an issue. I mean, that's that's a bit of an issue.
Yeah. I mean, so this is a person, and remember the plagiarism issues as well?
Yeah.
You know, Phil Hardy yesterday, well, it's her staff. Blah, 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 blah. Really, Phil? Come on.
Yeah. Take some personal responsibility. But, yeah, elections are coming right up. We're less than 2 weeks away, aren't we?
Where has the time gone?
Yeah, I mean, we're already to the 16th day of October. Well, I guess it's more than 2 weeks away. It'll be 2 weeks away on Tuesday, won't it?
Exactly. And here we have, again, at Hillside Junior High School today, a home of young Jacob and Brian Harson.
Yes, it is. Ooh, look at the time. It slipped away. I got to do traffic. Traffic now, Kevin, as you're coming out of Candy County into Ada County looking good.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
High school here in Boise, 580 KIDO. Good morning, Dave.